Yes, sir.
Glory, glory, glory be to God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Amen, 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 amen. Amen. Blessings and glory. With some thanksgiving and honor, where and might be unto our Lord forever and ever. Amen, 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 amen. Blessings and glory. Wisdom is given and honor. Give unto the Lord forever and ever. Amen, 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 amen. Blessings and glory. Wisdom, thanksgiving, and power and might be unto the Lord forever and ever. Amen. How excellent is your name, O Lord. How excellent is your name, O Lord. How excellent is your name. How excellent is your name. How excellent is your name, O Lord, how excellent is your name, how excellent is your name, how excellent is your name. Oh, Lord, how marvelous
is your name,
oh, Lord, how marvelous is your name, oh, Lord. How marvelous is your name. How marvelous is your name, O Lord. Lover of my soul, I'll sing and lift you higher. Lover of my soul, I'll sing and lift you higher. Lover of my soul, I'll sing and
lift you higher.
Lover of my soul, yes, I'll sing
and lift you higher.
You are the mighty God, great I am. Hallelujah, hallelujah, you are God, the great I am. Alleluia. Alleluia. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up in war the coin. Singing, blessed be the name, hallelujah, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. He's worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name, hallelujah, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's just bless the name of the Lord today. He is worthy to be praised and adored. He is worthy to be worshipped.
Our Lord,
he is worthy to be honored. He is worthy of all our praise, of all our
glory,
all our worship. Let's bless the name of the Lord today. Father, God Almighty, we just thank you. We praise you, righteous Father. We praise you, just Almighty King.
We praise you,
present Father, and Ministrant King.
Blessed be thy name, bright and morning.
God, we worship you. Father, Lord God Almighty, we bless you. Father, Lord God Almighty,
our King and our God. Blessed be thy name, all sufficient, everlasting Father. Blessed be thy name, eternal rock of ages.
Blessed be thy name, you are King of Kings,
our mighty God. Blessed be thy name, Father,
you are the Lord, everlasting Father. You are the beginning of the end.
Blessed be thy name, coming from King. Blessed be thy name, eternal rock of ages. Blessed be thy name, most sufficient, everlasting Father.
You are everything to us, everything we need.
We bless your holy name this morning because there is no one like you. There is no comparison to you. You are mighty God. You are awesome God. You are
loving
Father. Saints of peace, we thank you. Lord of lords, we lift your name high this morning. We say, blessed be thy holy name, eternal rock of ages. Blessed be thy holy name, bright and morning star. Blessed be thy holy name, O Bashete, Tele, Rebosha, and Takalari Bosh. Blessed be thy name, blessed be thy name. Blessed be thy name, eternal rock of ages.
Holy is thy name, mighty, you care for me, and we say, holy are you, Lord, we come at your feet this morning to say thank you.
Great is thy faithfulness in all our lives, Lord. Great is thy faithfulness in all our ways, Lord. Great is thy faithfulness in everything that you've done for us. You're such a great God. You're such a wonderful King, God. We bless your holy name. We exalt you this morning. We say, glory be thy name. Thank you, eternal rock of ages.
Thank you,
King of kings.
In Jesus' name, we have worshipped. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And let's just invite the Holy Spirit afresh to just come and take control of everything we're going to be doing, everything we're going to be saying. Let the Holy Spirit take perfect control. Let's yield ourselves to Him right now in Jesus' name. Amen. And the Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again.
Thank you, Lord.
We just praise you once again for bringing us before your throne of mercy, for giving us this privilege of coming to learn at your feet once again. Another opportunity to be transformed by your word, and to be transformed by the living word of God.
Yes, Lord.
We pray that we would meet with you in a mighty way today.
Amen.
We pray that we'll be transformed once again. We pray that we'll go from glory to glory as we behold your face in the word. We pray that we'll not be the same, Father.
Amen.
We pray as we hear your word that we'll also be doers, that we'll hear and we'll do and we'll change to your glory in Jesus' name. Father, that we pray even as we learn that we will teach somebody else.
In the name of Jesus.
Impact somebody for you, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And your name will be glorified through this word. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Good morning. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, ma'am.
Yes, glory to God. Today we're talking about all you will ever need. We say, what do you expect? But our subtitle is all you will ever need. And our key verse is from Psalm 62, verse 8. And I'll read the verse. It says, trust in him at all times, you people. This is New King James Version. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah, which means pause and think calmly on that. Trust in him at all times, not just sometimes, all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. Whatever is on your heart, pour it before him. God is a refuge for us. He is a refuge for us. And may that be our portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. And I read, all you will ever need. Life can feel overwhelming when you're responsible for mortgage and rent payments, medical bills, clothes for the family, escalating food and fuel expenses, college fees, plus the reality of preparing for your retirement. And the pressure is even greater if you are underemployed or unemployed. Where can you turn? Surrounded by enemies, David turned to God. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. I shall not be moved. And those are from verses 5 and 6. That's all right. Read that. It says, my soul, wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. may we not be moved in Jesus' name. Amen. So the question is, where does your expectation lie? That is the question before us. Where does your expectation lie? In the hope for an improved economy or job market, or the promise of better times to come? We know that we all have that, if this happens, then this will happen. If the economy gets better, then I'll be happy. If the economy, the job, if I get a better job, then things will become better. If I get a better house, then everything will be okay. If then, where does your expectation lie? That's the question we're hearing here. David says, I will wait only upon God. My expectation is from him. I'm not waiting for the economy to get better. I'm not waiting for the job market to climb back up. I'm not waiting for inflation to come down. I'm not waiting for the recession to pass. I'm not waiting for the housing slum, the boom to come back. I'm not waiting for anything else. I am waiting only upon God. There's a lot going on. There's no doubt about it. And we all know this. Like this write-up says, there's mortgage, there's rent, there are bills. You have this and that. And you're looking at everything going around. I was talking to a gentleman the other day, and we're talking about cost of stuff going up. The rent is going up, insurance is going up, food is going up, fuel prices are going up, everything is going up, but then it's like the paycheck is not going up at the same rate as all the other expenses. And it's easy to start getting overwhelmed by that. It's easy to start saying, God, the expenses are still there and the paycheck is gone. Lord, what are we going to do? And it's like, we don't start saying, what are we going to do? We start thinking, where am I going to turn? Who am I going to ask for help? Who am I going to ask that, hey, can you give me so-and-so? Can you give me a job? Who am I going to ask that, oh, can you help me with this? Can you help me with that? Or you start dreaming of, if I just get, win the lottery, maybe everything will be better. Or if I just get that inheritance from so-and-so uncle in Timbuktu, maybe everything will be better. Or maybe somebody will just walk up to me and just say, hey, I'm going to dash you $10,000. God has laid it upon my heart. And you start thinking of everything that could help make your life better. And you start looking to those things instead of looking to God himself. Instead of waiting on God himself. The question is, where does your expectation lie? That is a very good question, because we put expectations in everything around us except God. And that should not be the case. And I continue to read. So the question again is, where does your expectation lie? In the hope for an improved economy or job market, or the promise of better times to come? David's hope was more certain. He expected the answer to be found in the unchanging character and faithfulness of God. Unchanging character and faithfulness of God. That is so important. Unchanging character and faithfulness of God. God is the same yesterday, today, forever. He is the same. He does not change. He's always faithful. He's always good. He's always the provider. He did it yesterday. He'll do it today. He'll do it tomorrow. That is what our hope should be. And that is what our expectation should be in. That no matter what it looks like, we know that God that provided yesterday, he'll provide today. He'll provide tomorrow. The God that was with us yesterday, he'll be with us today, he'll be with us tomorrow. He will not forsake us, he will not leave us. That is just who he is. Even the Bible says, even when we are not faithful, he is faithful because he cannot deny himself. He cannot be different from who he, that is just who he is. He cannot not be faithful. He cannot not provide. He cannot not bless. That is just who he is, irrespective of us. I know a lot of times we think to ourselves that, oh, you know, God will probably not help me because I've done so, so, and so, and I've done so, so, and so. Or I'm not worthy of receiving his blessings or this and that. And, you know, sometimes we do block our own blessings, but God will continue blessing. That's just who he is. That's, he will continue to be faithful. That's just who he is. So we don't need to look to anybody else. We just have to put our expectation in his unchanging character, on his faithfulness. That is who he is. And continue. When anxiety arises, not if, when anxiety arises, we sometimes resort to our OMGWI list. OMGWI meaning, oh my God, what if? We focus on our fears, feel inadequate, and give in to despair. Being aware of our needs is being responsible, but being overwhelmed by them is evident you are looking to the wrong source for your answers. That is true right there. Like they say in my language, Orogidi, that is very, very true. Being aware of your needs is being responsible. You need to know that you have a mortgage. You need to know you need clothes for your children, school fees. You have, if you have medical bills, you know, checkups, that kind of stuff. You need to make sure you're buying shoes as your children are getting older. You need to make sure you have food on the table. Being aware of those needs are very, very important. So you can know all those needs, budget accordingly. This is what's coming up in the next year. This is how much, or next month, this is how much my paycheck could be. This is how I need to budget. This is what I can wait on. You know, I don't need to buy this right now. I'll put it on, I'll save for it while I buy this right now. Being aware. But then when you're overwhelmed by it, it means you are looking to the wrong source for answers. When you look at everything, you're like, oh, these are all the bills out here, and this is the paycheck, and you start getting overwhelmed, and you're like, God, what if? And you start running helter-skelter, running from pillar to post, running from this person to that person, looking for help. You are looking to the wrong source for answers. That is the first, our emotions can be overwhelming, but they're good indicators that God gave it to us for as an indicator of what's going on inside us to let us know that either something is wrong or we're doing something right. So when you're overwhelmed, that's an indicator that you are looking to the wrong source for answers. And our source should be the word of God. Our source should be the word of God. Our source should be God himself for answers. That's who we should be looking to. And I continue. George MacDonald said, we look upon God as our last and feeblest resource. That is so true, but that is so sad. Looking to God as our last and feeblest resource. That should not be the case. God will help us to make him our first resource in Jesus' name. Amen. But we only go to him when we have nowhere else to go. And then we learn that the storms of life have driven us not upon the rocks, but into the desired haven. Oh. Remember David? My soul wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. By him plus nothing, God is your adequate source. Since he gave us his son, you have all the evidence you need that he will also freely give us all things. That is Romans 8:32. That is Romans 8:32. And that is just saying right there that God he did not keep his only son from us, if he did not keep his only son from us, will he now keep anything else from us? Will he keep anything else from us? That is the question. So when you are looking at all those circumstances, bills, what are your needs, everything, and it looks like you have more bills than your money, you can go to Romans 8:32 and you can say, you know, God that did not spare his own son, but gave him for me, how will he not give me everything else in addition to that? And that's not only, I know we're talking about clothes, bills, payments right now, but it applies to everything. Everything. Is it wisdom you need? Clarity. The Bible says, you know, you should ask him for wisdom. He will give it to you generously. God, who is a generous God, will give it to you. He who has not, did not keep his only son from you, will it not give you everything else? He'll give you wisdom. Is it guidance you need? He said he'll guide you. He'll be behind you, telling you whether to turn to the left or to the right. He did not keep his only son from you, so why would he not give you guidance now? Is it protection you need? He said he'll be your defender, he'll be your shield, he'll be your the lift up of your head. Will he who did not keep his only son from you, will he now not protect you? Whatever it is you need, he did not keep his most treasured possession, his only son. He gave him up for us, even while we were sinners. Not when we became righteous, so while we were sinners, he gave us his only son. Why will he now keep anything from us? Any good thing? Why would he keep it from us? That doesn't make sense, right? But unfortunately, the devil will make us, want us to believe that God will keep things from us, that God holds out on us, that God doesn't supply, that God isn't faithful. But we know that's not true. And that's why we need to be going to the right source for answers. We shouldn't be getting our information from social media. There's nothing wrong with social media, but sometimes that information is wrong. We should always check that information against the word of God. We should, whatever we hear on the news, we should check it against the word of God, the Bible. Whatever we hear from friends, we should check it against the word of God. Whatever we hear from a sermon, we should look at ourselves with our own eyes and go look it all up. Whatever sermon it is, whatever exhortation it is, we should look for ourselves. We should test it ourselves. The Bible says we should test the spirit. We should read the word of God ourselves, look at it for our source. Our source should be the word of God. Our source should be God himself. And that's why it's also important to have that relationship with God, have that relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that will help us to know the mind of God. The Holy Spirit is the one that will help us to understand God. The Holy Spirit is the one that helps us to pray correctly because we don't know how to pray. He's the one that helps us in every situation. Having that relationship with the Holy Spirit will help us understand, illuminate our hearts, illuminate our mind, open up the eyes of our understanding to understand the unchanging nature of God, the faithfulness of God, which will deepen our faith in him so we can trust him more. Because when we, honestly, when we run from pillar to post, helter skelter, and when we decide to make God our last resort, it shows our lack of trust in him, it also shows our lack of relationship with him. Because it's just like if any of us get any news, if we get a job promotion, for instance, the first person you tell is usually the most important person. You know, some people that might be married, you might call your wife or your husband and say, hey, I got this job promotion, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, or someone might call their best friend, I got this, da-da-da-da-da. The first person you reach out to is usually the most important person in your life. So if God is the last person that you're telling your problems to, it definitely shows the lack of depth of relationship. But if he's the first person, it shows that how we've put him on that pedestal where he should be, how we've put him on the throne of our lives. He should be our first person that we go to. Not the person we go to when there's nobody else. Mm-mm, that's not the way it should be. That's not the way it should be. It should be our first go-to. That should be the default. Because the truth of the matter is, he's all we need. He plus nothing is adequate. God is adequate all by himself. Yes, there's room for human beings because he wants us to have relationship with our fellow human beings too, but he should be the primary. At all times, he should be the primary. And God will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. The floor is open for contributions, please.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good morning, mama.
Good morning. Good morning, Pastor. It's Pastor CJ.
How are you, man?
I'm good. Thank you, sir. I also, we thank God. Thank you, Sister Tolu, for this exhortation. The way and manner that God has helped you to break it down, practically speaking. We thank God that, you know, challenges are always there. Mm. But how we handle it is what will count for us or against us before God.
Mm.
The people of Israel, what they were complaining and mumbling about, were they not real? They were real. But they didn't see it from the perspective of who God is, that he is the creator of all things, is an unchanging God. The things that we see, the Bible says, they were things, it said, God called those things that were not as though they were. Everything is in God. Time and season are in his hands. He cannot be taken unaware. He knows all things. He sees all things. So it is our what the rest that God is saying. He said, God said those people of old could not enter into his rest. And he said, they are remaining in rest. Hebrew. So they are remaining in rest unto or we should labor to enter into that rest. What is the labor? The labor is for us to believe in him. We should cease from our own labor. I enter into his rest. No not to God are all his works. He knows all things, everything about us. So, brethren, it is for us to continue to trust in him. And that is why he said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. That word and not to faint presupposes that there are situations that will make you to faint. There are situations that will make us to murmur, to complain, to be agitated and be worried. He said, be anxious for nothing. In everything, in minutes, in everything, whether big, whether small, bring them to me with thanksgiving. Be anxious. Say, it will mark guide upon our hearts and peace. So, but how do we enter into this experience? How do we enter into it? We can just start small, small. We can just start small, small. Trust him. Look at what God has done for you before. They trust him. God that have done this thing for me will also do this for me. If we look at the things that are going on in the world right now, look at the situation of things. You know, affliction here and there, immorality here and there, sin is abounding, iniquity is abounding. Even when we look into the church, the things that are going on, there is a tendency to be discouraged and be saying, how can it be? But God said, just hold your peace, know that I'm God, be still. So it's for us to just lean on him. Wherever we have a challenge, we should first of all go to him. He said, in all your ways, acknowledge me. Acknowledge me. I will direct you. I will lead you. But sometimes we also, you know what the will of God is. You know, through his word, through the prompting in your spirit. You know, he will speak to you. He will put this in your heart. That's witness of the spirit. He will quicken you. And you know, okay, this is what God is saying. But let's make God our friends. Let's be friends with God. Like what our sister was saying, just said that when you have something good news, so to say, the first person you call is the person that is very close to you, the closest person to you, can be your spouse, can be your friend. So God wants us to make friends with the Holy Spirit. In everything, whether big, whether small, you pray. Keep praying. I keep telling people, even my children, pray. Have you prayed? I cannot tell how many times I prayed a day, because in every time I always say, oh God, please help me. Oh God, please help me. Go ahead of me. Lord, it is you I trust, so please help me. You know. So let it just be that there is 24-hour communication with God. Everything about your life is God. You eat, oh, thank you, Lord, for providing for me. No food, oh God, thank you, because I know you will provide for me. You will never leave me, you will never forsake. Let me make God our friend. When we make the Holy Spirit our friend, the race becomes easier for us. We will not fail. He says it gives power to the faint, and they that have no might, it increases their strength. Isaiah 40. The Lord help us and bless us.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, man. Thank you for that. It's very, like you said, you know, trials will come, tribulations will come, situations will come that will make us faint. But how we handle it is the importance. How we handle it will either pull us down, either please God or displease God, honestly. You know, like you said, the Israelites going through the wilderness. I mean, anybody in that situation, it's hard. It'll be hard to be in the wilderness for whatever amount of years, weeks, even days. But how you handle it is what's the question. Are you handling it in light of God's character, or are you just not believing, not trusting in his character and just murmuring and behaving in unbelief and distrust? You know, God is not taken unaware. He knows everything that's going to happen. And he allows everything for a reason, either to grow you or to help somebody else or to glorify his name. There's always a good reason for it. He doesn't have to explain himself, but there's always a good reason. So it's important that those trials will come. And like when Bridget just said, you know, when the Bible says pray, men always ought to pray, not faint. It's assuming there's going to be situations where you feel very faint, where you just feel overwhelmed. But in those situations, pray, 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 pray without ceasing, like the Bible says. Pray, pray, pray. Communicate with God all the time. Communicate with the Holy Spirit all the time. He'll give strength. He will give strength. Because that's God is. That's what the Holy Spirit is. They want to help us. They want to help us. And God will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. More contributions, please.
Amen. Thank you, Sister. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sister Bridget. I think it's very, I don't know, the topic today, it's very, very, very simple, but at the same time, very hard. Because all you need, you will ever need, is God. I think we should put that at the end of it, is God. All you will ever need is God. And we get distracted. The writer started it out by saying, when you're overwhelmed with all of the things that you think that you need, it becomes overwhelming. But there to Luke said things that I just want to pick out of what you said, that when your bill is more than what you earn, it's where we can start from. That we stay within what God gave us ability to stay within, and then ask him wisdom on how to navigate the rest of it. And what we have done that causes problem, that makes us have expectations that are not realistic, is because we've shifted away from God's perspectives of relying on him, depend on him, trusting him. That now we now shifted that to knowing what we want to do, going after what we want to do, and then trying to educate ourselves to get those things done, then we find ourselves struggling. And you know, it's two ways, because you cannot have it both ways. It's either you allow God to have his way in your life, follow his precept, follow the guiding rule, the golden rule that he has put down, and go by what he asks you to do, or you go and do things on yourself, and then you go that way. But today, what we find out today is that we, as human, we tend to go with what we see, what we feel, and what we hear. But we tend to gravitate to things that are actually gratifying to this flesh. The one that we don't see, which is God and the Holy Spirit, they are not enticing enough, because we don't feel or see or have anything that we can hold on to. But they're operating, they're there. And that's where the confusion is. But whatever the case may be, that we have drifted away from the presence of God to go by his rule and his guide in our life, I pray that God will restore us back in the name of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Because the other side of us knowing what we want, what we like, and what we desire, and what how we're going to go about it, is a very struggle way. It's got a broadness to it, that there can never be a satisfaction in that area, but we keep on acquiring and acquiring and acquiring and acquiring, and many things just become overwhelming. But on the other end, depending on God is depending on his sovereignty to say, yes, you created me, you have everything for me. I am going to trust you for what I have, and I'm going to walk according to the ability which you have given me, to trust you in the little that you have given me, to measure them and use them appropriately. That's where we are today. That all we need is not what we know or what the world is pushing at us or what we ask to, what we want to achieve. I've been going through so many things this past week about God telling us that what is it that you're acquiring. And like this morning, somebody's telling me that when people actually died, what did you take with you? And I was like, okay, yes, you don't take anything with you, but you still have the Spirit of God with you, that you're going to use on the other side, whether you're doing right here or there. How are you going to account for it? So where your treasure is, where your heart is, where your ability, what you love most, where your heart is, that's what's going to retain your happiness. And all that we need, for everything that we need in life, is in God. No matter how small we may find ourselves in, as long as God is in it, it's bigger than anything that anybody can imagine. Because if we don't have him at the end, if we don't build that relationship with him at the end, and we don't have a good things that he wants our hearts to be at the end, it's not going to be pretty. So we just need to look at him and trust him and believe that he's able to do everything which he has promised, and stop deceiving ourselves to think we want to achieve the whole world. It will not profit anything. God owns the world. He owns everything. So if you have the one that owns everything, you have everything. So all you will ever need is God, and God will help us in Jesus' name. Thank you, ma'am.
Amen, amen. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I love what you said about you. There are two ways you could go. You either, to paraphrase, you either just yield to God and everything will go well, or you take your own, you go your own way. And honestly, we don't even know our own way, but we still try to go out, take our own steps. And usually, I mean, God in his infinite mercy, sometimes when we still take matters into our hands, you let it go right. But a lot of times it ends up, we end up in worse situation than when we started. You know, we need to yield to God. And like you said at the end there, if you have a relationship with the one that owns it all, then you own it all too. You own it all too. I mean, when you, even earthly children who are children of millionaires or billionaires, they don't worry about much. They don't worry about anything, because everything that parents have is theirs. That's the same thing with us. If we're, our Heavenly Father loves us with an everlasting love. He owns owns everything, the creator of heaven and earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If we have that relationship with him and we abide in him, and everything is ours. Everything will be ours. So there's no reason to worry about anything at all. Just abide in him. Follow his ways. He'll order your footsteps the way it needs to be ordered. He'll guide you along the best pathway for your life. He'll provide all your needs according to his riches in glory. There's no reason to run after worldly things at all. Like Pastor said, it's easier said than done, because we're more wired to be looking at things we can see. So we always gravitate towards things we can see, but things are unseen. Things we can see are temporal. Things are unseen are eternal. They are permanent. God, the Holy Spirit, those are the things we should be focused on. And God will help us in Jesus' name. Do we have any other contributions?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Good morning, Ma.
Good morning, Ma. Thank you so much for all those contributions this morning. You know, as everyone was actually ministering, one thing that actually, you know, struck my heart was the character of God. You know, that character actually gives us confidence. And that character actually settles us all when it comes to worries, expectation, and everything. Because through that character of God, will always let us understand that we shouldn't acquire what we cannot actually afford. Because most times our expectation is too high. Because we are looking onto this person, I want to be like this, I want to be like that. And remember what was actually, you know, there with yesterday was about, you know, our, who is actually advising us, and how can we yield completely to advice when it comes to, you know, godly advice that we are getting. Who is advising us? Who is our advisor? It's really very important. And if God, the Holy Spirit, happens to be our advisor, we will know that number one thing, in order for us not to have too much load on us, is to remain to be content, honestly. And when we remain, you know, if we are content with everything that we have, another thing is that whatever that has come our way, that could be a struggle, you know, or any situation, our expectation should be on God, because He remains unchangeable, just like what we read this morning. And He remained faithful in all His way. And as long as we remember that this God remains faithful and is unchangeable God, He doesn't change in His character, just like men can change. You know, men can promise us something today and tomorrow they can change and tell us different thing. That I'm sorry, I can't make it again. But God doesn't work that way. And as long as our mind is actually, you know, hold on to that His promises, I don't think anything should bring, you know, fears to us any longer. And just like what Pastor mentioned, honestly, it's not something that is easy. And that is the reason why God always tells us one thing that is very unique about His word. He said, do not forsake the gathering of His people, because it is through that gathering of His people that you will hear a word of elevation. A word that will, you know, elevate your spirit, that will motivate you again, that yes, this is the promises of God, and I will stand with it. You know, it's just like yesterday when the brother Sam was ministering. Honestly, God just gave me my word, and it is really true. If we believe in those word of God, honestly, solution is in what we are looking for. And I always say this, that the word of God is prophecy. Honestly, every time when God speaks, it's a prophecy to someone. It's a prophecy to that situation which you're handling at that particular time. But we don't see that word of God to be a prophecy. We start running after a prophet. Meanwhile, the prophecy is right beside us. We are getting it right there. But still, we are still running after men. We believe in the word of men than the word of God. And that is the reason why we are struggling. And as we, you know, dive into the word of God every day, we will see that everything will be easier for us in the mighty name of Jesus. So in a nutshell, please, let's put our expectation in God. Because when we put our expectation in God, the word of God will be that light to our feet. I pray that the Lord will help us in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Ma. Thank you, Ma. That's, yes, expectation should be on God, the character of God. Knowing the character of God is important. Knowing the character of God, the first way, knowing the word of God, digging deep into that word so you can know who God is, and then believing, truly believing that He doesn't change. So as you are learning about His character, knowing He doesn't change, and you're learning about His character through studying the word yourself, or like Pastor Mrs. just said, even fellowshipping with the brethren, somebody will say a word that, you know, from the word of God that will help you, you know, iron sharpens iron. And that will help you know about the character of God too. But it's important to know God's character and put your expectation in Him and Him alone. That He's unchanging. That's my prayer for my own self and for everybody else, that will become a revelation to us, to become flesh and blood to us, that we'll know that we know that we know that God does not change, so that no matter what comes our way, we'll always be able to trust that He that's done it before, He will do it again. Nothing will change about Him, that irrespective of, in spite of ourselves, because that's sometimes the problem too. That we think because we're not this, we're not that, that God will not come through. No, God will always come through in spite of ourselves. He doesn't change, so we don't have to worry about that. We should just let God be God. And I pray that that'll become, that we'll know that, that'll become flesh and blood to us in Jesus' name. I'll just hand over to Pastor if Pastor's available.
Thank you very much, Tatulu. Thank you, Star Bridget. Thank you, Pastor Mrs. I think we just need to just keep in mind that he created us, and he did not create us to live a life without him. He created us to live a life with him, because we function with his breath in our lives. And when we realize that, it's become easy for us to depend on him. I just pray that God, we, Holy Spirit, will continue to work in us so that we will not forget who God is to us. It's very important to keep that in mind until we come to that maturity of understanding that we're no longer our own, and that we're God's creation, and he created us for himself. Then we'll be able to depend on him. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that means you're not actually close to living for God. Because the first step is accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior to be able to have a good relationship with God. Because the Bible did write it, said it, that without Jesus Christ, nobody able to get to the Father, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So this morning, I'd like to offer you the opportunity to invite you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. All you have to say is, I believe that Jesus Christ, you are the Son of God. I believe Jesus Christ, you died for me. And this morning, I accept you as my Lord and personal Savior. I come and be my Lord, come and be my God. And if you say that prayer, we pray that the Holy Spirit fall upon you. Holy Spirit start walking with you and start showing you the way that you need to go in the name of Jesus. For the rest of us, you know, we cannot do anything without God. God is the ultimate, is the beginning, is the ending. He knows what we need. He knows where we're going. And if we can make him our worry, then everything that we need will become easy. You hear that? Make God your worry. My relationship with him, your relationship with him, make sure that we're intact with him. Everything works itself out. And may God help us in the name of Jesus Christ. If you have accepted Christ this morning, look for a Bible-believing church close to you. Tell them you have accepted Christ. They will walk with you. If you can't find one, go on the internet. Type rccg.org. You will find the Redeemed Christian Church of God close to you. Tell them you have accepted Christ, and they will walk with you. The rest of us, may God help us all in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your daughter that you have used today. We commit her into your hand that you will fill her. Continue to give her revelation knowledge in the name of Jesus Christ. We that we've heard what the Holy Spirit has ministered through her today, Father, we pray that this word will not stand against us in that day that we shall meet with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, the day is in your hand. Guide our step, direct our path. Help us to put our trust in you. We know there's so many things overwhelming out there. We have so many things that we are believing, we are trusting. And not because we want those things to control our life, but the circumstances have brought them to our feet. We ask for revelation. We ask for guidance. We ask for directives. And give us that enablement to depend on you in every situation, that we will not use our own intellect. We will not use what people have said. We will not use what people have used. But we will trust in you to work things out for us in the name of Jesus Christ. Tonight, Bible studies in your hand. We pray that, Lord, you will descend Holy Spirit upon your daughters and everyone that will be participating tonight in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you praise. We give you honor. We give you adoration. In Jesus' name, we are prayed. Amen. 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 Let us share the grace with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's pass upon us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of God forever and ever. Amen. And the one the Lord is blessed.
So shall it be in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Stan, for leading. Thank you, everybody. God bless you. Cover you with the blood of Jesus. Have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Thank you, sister. Bless you.